Danta Swamini Tinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharni, Nirvisesha Shunyabadi, Paschatya Deshatarni. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 164 to 226. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to proceed from Kulia toward Vrindavan, thousands of men were with him, and all of them were devotees. Wherever the Lord visited, crowds of innumerable people came to see him. When they saw him, all their unhappiness and lamentation disappeared. Wherever the Lord touched the ground with his lotus feet, people immediately came and gathered the dirt. Indeed, they gathered so much that many holes were created in the road. Lord Chaitanya eventually arrived at a village named Ramakeli. This village is situated on the border of Bengal and is very exquisite. Purport. Ramakeli Gram is situated on the banks of the Ganges on the border of Bengal. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis had their residences in this village. While performing Sankirtan in Ramakeli Gram, the Lord danced and sometimes lost consciousness due to love of God. While at Ramakeli Gram, an unlimited number of people came to see his lotus feet. When the Muslim king of Bengal heard of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's influence in attracting innumerable people, he became very much astonished and began to speak as follows. Purport. At that time, the Muslim king of Bengal was Nawab Hussein Shah Badshah. Such a person who was followed by so many people without giving them charity must be a prophet. I can truly understand this fact. The Muslim king ordered the magistrate, "Do not disturb this Hindu prophet out of jealousy. Let him do his own will wherever he likes." Purport. Even a Muslim king could understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental position as a prophet. Therefore, he ordered the local magistrate not to disturb him, but to let him do whatever he liked. When the Muslim king asked his assistant, Keshava Chatri, for news of the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Keshava Chatri, although knowing everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tried to avoid the conversation by not giving any importance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. Purport. Keshava Chatri became a diplomat when questioned about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he knew everything about him, he was afraid that the Muslim king might become his enemy. He gave no importance to the Lord's activities so that the Muslim king would take him to be an ordinary man and would not give him any trouble. Yes. Keshava Chatri informed the Muslim king that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a mendicant touring different places of pilgrimage and that as such, only a few people came to see him. Keshava Chatri said, "Out of jealousy, your Muslim servant plots against him. I think that you should not be very interested in him, for there is no profit in it. Rather, there is simply loss." After pacifying the king in this way, Keshava Chatri sent a Brahmana messenger to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting him to leave without delay. In private, the king inquired from Dhabir Khas, Srila Rupa Goswami, who began to speak about the glories of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami said, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gave you this kingdom and whom you accept as a prophet, has taken birth in your country due to your good fortune. This prophet always desires your good fortune. By his grace, all your business is successful. By his blessings, you will attain victory everywhere. But why are you questioning me? Better that you question your own mind. Because you are the king of the people, you are the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you can understand this better than I." Thus, Srila Rupa Goswami informed the king about his mind as a way of knowing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He assured the king that whatever occurred in his mind could be considered evidence. The king replied, "I consider Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt about it." After having this conversation with Rupa Goswami, the king entered his private house. Rupa Goswami, then known as Dabir Khas, also returned to his residence. Purport: a monarch is certainly a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, everyone, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, the Supreme Personality Godhead is the proprietor of all planetary systems. In each and every planet, there must be some king, governmental head, or executive. Such a person is supposed to be the representative of Lord Vishnu. On behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must see to the interests of all the people. Therefore, Lord Vishnu, as Paramatma, gives the king all intelligence to execute governmental affairs. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore asked the king what was in his mind concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and indicated that whatever the king thought about him was correct. After returning to his residence, Dhabir Khas and his brother decided after much consideration to go see the Lord incognito. Thus, in the dead of night, the two brothers, Dhabir Khas and Sakara Malak, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu incognito. First, they met Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that two personalities, Sri Rupa and Sanatan, had come to see him. Purport: Sakara Malak was the name of Sanatan Goswami, and Dabir Khas was the name of Rupa Goswami. They were recognized by these names in the service of the Muslim king. Therefore, these are Muslim names. As officials, the brothers adopted all kinds of Muslim customs. In great humility, both brothers took bunches of straw between their teeth, and each, binding a cloth around his neck, fell down like rods before the Lord. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers were overwhelmed with joy, and out of humility they began to cry. Lord Chaitanya asked them to get up and assured them of all good fortune. The two brothers got up, and again taking straw between their teeth, they humbly offered their prayers with folded hands. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sir, We belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. Purport. Although the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, at that time, Dabyakas and Sakara Malik, presented themselves as being born in a low family, they nonetheless belonged to a most respectable Brahmin family that was originally from Karnataka. Thus, they actually belonged to the Brahmin caste. Unfortunately, because of being associated with the Muslim governmental service, their customs and behavior resembled those of Muslims. Therefore, they presented themselves as Nicha Jati. The word Jati means birth. According to Shastra, there are three kinds of birth. The first birth is from the womb of the mother. The second birth is the acceptance of the reformatory method. And the third birth is acceptance by the spiritual master initiation. One becomes abominable by adopting an abominable profession or by associating with people who are naturally abominable. Rupa and Sanatan, as Dabyakas and Sakara Malik, associated with Muslims who were naturally opposed to Brahminical culture and cow protection. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, it is stated that every person belongs to a certain classification. A person is identifiable by the special symptoms mentioned in the Shastras. By one's symptoms, one is known to belong to a certain caste. Both Dabyakas and Sakara Malik belong to the Brahmin caste, but because they were employed by Muslims, their original habits degenerated into those of the Muslim community. Since the symptoms of Brahminical culture were almost nil, they identified themselves with the lowest caste. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is clearly stated that because Sakara Malik and Dabyakas associated with low-class men, they introduced themselves as belonging to the lower classes. Actually, however, they had been born in respectable Brahmin families. Let's chant together the verse. Matulyo nasti papatma na paradi chakaschana parihare pilajame king bruve purushottama. Dear Lord, no, they weren't. They were Brahmins, but as explained, because they were associating with Muslims, serving Muslims, they even took Muslim names, they considered themselves fallen. They were not fallen, but they were thinking themselves that way. Yes, as we read, they were born as Brahmanas in South India, Karnataka. Okay? So when you accept, that means you accept discipline, you accept religious principles, you live a religious life rather than do whatever you want. Okay? So you could consider yourself already twice according to this definition, because you do accept religious principles. You don't just do whatever you want. Your father, mother, and sister, they are three because they've actually gotten initiated. Satisfied? Shall we continue? Thank you for your nice question. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed. And what to speak of giving them up? Purport. This verse is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. The two brothers submitted. Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none so fallen as us. You have delivered the two brothers Jagai and Madai, but to deliver them, you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madhai belong to the Brahmin caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvip. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Jagai and Madhai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by a dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami presented themselves as being lower than the two brothers Jagai and Madhai, who were delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Rupa and Sanatan compared themselves to Jagai and Madhai, they found themselves inferior because the Lord had no trouble in delivering the two drunken brothers. This was so because, despite the fact that they were addicted to sinful activity, in other ways their life was brilliant. They belonged to the Brahmin caste of Navadvip, and such Brahmins were pious by nature. Although they had been addicted to some sinful activities due to bad association, those unwanted things could vanish simply because of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Another point for Jagai and Madhai was that, as members of a Brahmana family, they did not accept service under anyone. The Shastras strictly forbid a Brahmana to accept service under anyone. The idea is that by accepting a master, one accepts the occupation of a dog. In other words, a dog cannot thrive without having a master. And for the sake of pleasing the master, dogs offend many people. They bark at innocent people just to please the master. Similarly, when one is a servant, he has to perform abominable activities according to the orders of the master. Therefore, one Dabir Khas and Sakura Malik compared their position to that of Jagai and Madhai. They found Jagai and Madhai's position far better. Jagai and Madhai never accepted the position of serving a low-class person, nor were they forced to execute abominable activities under the order of a low-class master. Jagai and Madhai chanted the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by way of blasphemy, but because they simply chanted his name, they immediately became freed from the reactions of sinful activity. Thus, later they were saved. Jagai and Madhai uttered your holy name by way of blaspheming you. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We too are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madhai. We are more degraded, fallen, and sinful than they. Actually, we belong to the caste of meat eaters because we are servants of meat eaters. Indeed, our activities are exactly like those of the meat eaters. Because we always associate with such people, we are inimical toward the cows and brahmanas. Purport. There are two kinds of meat eaters. One who was born in a family of meat eaters, and one who has learned to associate with meat eaters. From Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, formerly Dabir Khas and Sakura Malik, we can learn how one attains the character of a meat eater simply by associating with meat eaters. At the present moment in India, the presidential offices are occupied by so-called Brahmanas. but the state maintains slaughterhouses for killing cows and makes propaganda against Vedic civilization. The first principle of Vedic civilization is the avoidance of meat eating and intoxication. Presently in India, intoxication and meat eating are encouraged, and the so-called learned Brahmins presiding over this state of affairs have certainly become degraded according to the standard given by Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. These so-called Brahmanas give sanction to slaughterhouses for the sake of a fat salary, and they do not protest these abominable activities. By deprecating the principles of Vedic civilization and supporting cow killing, they are immediately degraded to the platform of Malechas and Yavanas. A Malecha is a meat eater, and a Yavana is one who has deviated from Vedic culture. Unfortunately, such Malechas and Yavanas are in executive power. How then can there be peace in prosperity in the state? The king or the president must be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Maharaj Yudhishthir accepted the rule of Bharatavarsha, formerly this entire planet, including all the seas and land, he took sanction from authorities like Bhishma Dev and Lord Krishna. He thus ruled the entire world according to religious principles. At the present moment, however, heads of state do not care for religious principles. If irreligious people vote on an issue, even though it be against the principles of the Shastras, the bills will be passed. The president and heads of state become sinful by agreeing to such abominable activities. Sanatan and Rupa Goswamis pleaded guilty to such activities. They therefore classified themselves among the Malechas, although they had been born in a Brahmana family. The two brothers, Sakara Malik and Dabir Khas, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands and been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable, stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained Kuvishaya Gartha as follows. Because of the activities of the senses, we become subjected to many sense gratificatory processes and are thus entangled by the laws of material nature. This entanglement is called Vishay. When the sense gratificatory processes are executed by pious activity, they are called Suvishai. The word Su means good, and Vishai means sense objects. When the sense gratificatory activities are performed under sinful conditions, they are called Kuvishai, bad sense enjoyment. In either case, either Kuvishai or Suvishai, these are material activities. As such, they are compared to stool. In other words, such things are to be avoided. To become free from Suvishai and Kuvishai, one must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These activities of devotional service are free from the contamination of material qualities. Therefore, to be free from the reactions of Suvishai and Kuvishai, one must take to Krishna consciousness. In that way, one will save himself from contamination. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Karmakanda Jnanakanda Kevala Visharabhanda Amrita Baliya Jebakai Nana Yone Sadafire Kardarya Bhakshanakari Tara Janma Adapate Yai. Suvishai and Kuvishai both fall under the category of Karmakanda. There is another kanda, platform of activity, called Jnanakanda, or philosophical speculation about the effects of Kuvishai and Suvishai, with the attention to find out the means of deliverance from material entanglement. On the platform of Jnanakanda, one may give up the objects of Kuvishai and Suvishai, but that is not the perfection of life. Perfection is transcendental to both Jnanakanda and Karmakanda. It is on the platform of devotional service. If we do not take to devotional service in Krishna consciousness, we have to remain within this material world and endure the repetition of birth and death due to the effects of Jnanakanda and Karmakanda. Therefore, Narottama Das Thakur says, Nana Yone Sada Fire Kadarja Bhakshanakari Tar Janma Adapatayai. One travels throughout various species of life and eats all kinds of nonsense. Thus he spoils his existence. A man in material existence and attached to Kuvishai or Suvishai is in the same position as that of a worm in stool. After all, whether it be moist or dry, stool is stool. Similarly, material activities may be either pious or impious, but because they are all material, they are compared to stool. Worms cannot get out of stool by their own endeavor. Similarly, those who are overly attached to material existence cannot get out of materialism and suddenly become Krishna conscious. Attachment is there, as explained by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam. Together, Matir na Krishna paratat svatova mitho pipadyeta grihavratanam adanta govir vishatam tamisram punak punaschar vita charvananam. Those who have made up their minds to remain in this material world and enjoy sense gratification cannot be Krishna conscious. Because of their attachment to material activity, they cannot attain liberation, either by the instructions of superior persons, or by their own endeavor, or by passing resolutions in big conferences. Because their senses are uncontrolled, they gradually descend to the darkest regions of material existence to repeat the same process of birth and death in desirable or undesirable species of life. No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as Tapavana, the savior of the fallen souls. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us, O merciful one. There is no other object of mercy within the three worlds but us. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe. Namrisha paramartham eva me, shrinu vigyapanam ekam agrata, yadi me na dasyasi tada, dayinyas tava natha dulaba. Let us submit one piece of information before you, dear Lord. It is not at all false, but it is full of meaning. It is this: if you are not merciful upon us, then it will be very, very difficult to find more suitable candidates for your mercy. This verse is from Stotra Ratna by Sri Yamunacharya. We are very depressed at being unfit candidates for your mercy. Yet since we have heard of your transcendental qualities, we are very much attracted to you. Indeed, we are like a dwarf who wants to capture the moon. Although we are completely unfit, our desire to receive your mercy is awakening within our minds. Bhavantam evanu charan nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadaham aikantika nitya kinkara prahirashashyami sanatha jivitam. By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent, eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? Purport. In his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has declared every living entity to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the constitutional position of all living entities. Just as a dog or servant is very much satisfied to get a competent, perfect master, or as a child is completely satisfied to possess a competent father, so the living entity is satisfied by completely engaging in the service of the Supreme Lord. He thereby knows that he has a competent master to save him from all kinds of danger. Unless the living entity comes to the guaranteed protection of the Supreme Lord, he is full of anxiety. This life of anxiety is called material existence. To be completely satisfied and devoid of anxiety, one must come to a position of eternally rendering service to the Supreme Lord. This verse is also from the Stotra-ratna by Sri Yamunacharya. After hearing the prayer of Dabhyarkas and Sakara Malak, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Dabhyarkas, you two brothers are my old servants. My dear Sakara Malak, from this day your names will be changed to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatan. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble." Purport. Actually, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's initiation of Dabhyarkas and Sakara Malak. They approached the Lord with all humility, and the Lord accepted them as old servants, as eternal servants, and changed their names. It is to be understood from this that it is essential for a disciple to change his name after initiation. Shankha Chakra Yudva Pundra Dharanad Yatma Lakshanam Tanama Karnam Chaiva Vaishnavatvam Ihochyate. After initiation, the disciple's name must be changed to indicate that he is a servant of Lord Vishnu. The disciple should also immediately begin marking his body with tilak, urdhvapundra, especially his forehead. These are spiritual marks, symptoms of a perfect Vaishnava. This is a verse from the Padma Purana Uttarakhand. A member of the Sahajiya Sampradaya does not change his name. Therefore, he cannot be accepted as a Gaudiya Vaishnava. If a person does not change his name after initiation, it is to be understood that he will continue in his bodily conception of life. You have written several letters showing your humility. I can understand your behavior from those letters. By your letters, I could understand your heart. Therefore, in order to teach you, I sent you one verse which reads as follows. Paravasyanini nari.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent this verse.
Yeah, he says right here, I sent you this verse. Paravyasanini nari vyagrapi griya karmasu tad eva svadyantar navasanga rasayanam. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs, but within her heart she is always relishing feelings of association with her paramour. I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I have come just to see you two brothers. Everyone is asking why I have come to this village of Ramakeli. No one knows my intentions. It is very good that you two brothers have come to see me. Now you can go home. Do not fear anything. Birth after birth, you have been my eternal servants. I am sure that Krishna will deliver you very soon. The Lord then placed his two hands on the heads of both of them, and in return, they immediately placed the lotus feet of the Lord on their heads. After this, the Lord embraced both of them and requested all the devotees present to be merciful upon them and deliver them. May that day come for all of us. One day. When all the devotees saw the mercy of the Lord upon the two brothers, they were very much gladdened, and they began to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hari! Hari! Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Peyeche Keba. Unless one serves a Vaishnava, he cannot be delivered. The spiritual master initiates the disciple to deliver him. And if the disciple executes the order of the spiritual master and does not offend other Vaishnavas, his path is clear. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the Vaishnavas present to show mercy toward the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, who had just been initiated by the Lord. When a Vaishnava sees that another Vaishnava is a recipient of the Lord's mercy, he becomes very happy. Vaishnavas are not envious. If a Vaishnava, by the mercy of the Lord, is empowered by him to distribute the Lord's holy name all over the world, other Vaishnavas become very joyful. That is, if they are truly Vaishnavas. One who is envious of the success of a Vaishnava is certainly not a Vaishnava himself, but is an ordinary mundane man. Envy and jealousy are manifested by mundane people, not by Vaishnavas. Why should a Vaishnava be envious of another Vaishnava who is successful in spreading the holy name of the Lord? An actual Vaishnava is very pleased to accept another Vaishnava who is bestowing the Lord's mercy. A mundane person in the dress of a Vaishnava should not be respected but rejected. This is enjoined in the Shastra, Upeksha. The word Upeksha means neglect. One should neglect an envious person. A preacher's duty is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friendships with Vaishnavas, show mercy to the innocent, and reject or neglect those who are envious or jealous. We have our marching orders. There are many jealous people in the dress of Vaishnavas in this Krishna consciousness movement, and they should be completely neglected. There is no need to serve a jealous person who is in the dress of a Vaishnava. When Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Peyeche Keba, he is indicating an actual Vaishnava, not an envious or jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava. All the Vaishnava associates of the Lord were present, including Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhara Pandit, Mukunda, Jagadananda, Murari, and Vrakeshwara. In accordance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers, Rupa and Sanatan, immediately touched the lotus feet of these Vaishnavas, who all became very happy and congratulated the two brothers for having received the mercy of the Lord. Purport. This behavior is indicative of real Vaishnavas. When they saw that Rupa and Sanatan were fortunate enough to receive the mercy of the Lord, they were so pleased that they all congratulated the two brothers. A jealous person in the dress of a Vaishnava is not at all happy to see the success of another Vaishnava in receiving the Lord's mercy. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many mundane persons in the dress of Vaishnavas, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as disciples of Kali. He says, Kali Chela. He indicates that there is another Vaishnava, a pseudo-Vaishnava, with tilak on his nose and kunti beads around his neck. Such a pseudo-Vaishnava associates with money and women and is jealous of successful Vaishnavas. Although passing for a Vaishnava, his only business is earning money in the dress of a Vaishnava. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says that such a pseudo-Vaishnava is not a Vaishnava at all, but a disciple of Kali Yuga. A disciple of Kali cannot become an Acharya by the decision of some high court. Mundane votes have no jurisdiction to elect a Vaishnava Acharya. A Vaishnava Acharya is self-effulgent, and there is no need for any court judgment. A false Acharya may try to override a Vaishnava by a high court decision. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is nothing but a disciple of Kali Yuga. After begging the permission of all the Vaishnavas present, the two brothers, at that time of their departure, humbly submitted something at the lotus feet of the Lord. They said, Dear Lord, although you are the king of Bengal, Nawab Hussein Shah is very respectful toward you. You have no other business here. Kindly depart from this place. Although the king is respectful toward you, he still belongs to the Yavana class and should not be believed. We think that there is no need for such a great crowd to accompany you on your pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Dear Lord, you are going to Vrindavan with hundreds and thousands of people following you, and this is not a fitting way to go on pilgrimage. Purport. Sometimes for business purposes, large crowds of men are taken to different places of pilgrimage and money is collected from them. That is a very lucrative business, but Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, expressing their opinion in the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disapproved of such crowded pilgrimages. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, he visited alone and accepted a servant only at his devotee's request. He never visited Vrindavan with crowds of people for a commercial purpose. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Sri Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord, and was therefore not at all fearful, he still acted like a human being to teach neophytes how to act. Having spoken thus, the two brothers offered prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord and returned to their homes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then desired to leave that village. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Rama Shri Madhusudana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Haraye Namaha May Krishna bless Govinda Kunj and all the inhabitants of Govinda Kunj. May there be all auspiciousness. May there be peace, love, harmony, surrender, happiness, wealth, health. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.